Welcome to the Sunday Morning Meeting Podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Brian Ward.
Hallelujah. You know, we've had a great time recently over these last few weeks of where God has been talking to us as a church here at Kingdom Faith about going deeper. And we had Steve Oppel that came to us for our Deeper Conference. Is that 3 weeks ago now, Kate? It must be about that. It seems these conferences that we have, and the week after, and you think, man, it seems such a while ago. And although the deeper conference might last for a weekend, what you get out of it lasts for a lifetime. Yeah. And it's something that we need to take hold of, is when these speakers come to us, and obviously within our own speakers as well, that what God is saying over this church and over this community and over this nation as a whole, we need to take that and birth that in our own lives. So that our lives are effective as well as being collectively effective, that we're effective in our own walk with God. And some of the things, I'm still going through some of Steve's stuff, and particularly the message he brought on the Sunday about the supremacy of Christ. And he actually sent me his notes for me, which I downloaded, and I'm just going through those. What Steve was bringing to us as a church was about standing up, standing out, standing strong. And standing in the presence of God. And that was over the 4 days. And Pastor Paul also brought a great message as well about our identity. And being able to stand strong and, be able to just to stand up and stand out and stand strong of who we are in this day and age isn't an easy thing unless you have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That we've been equipped and enabled and by the Holy Spirit to be able to go out there and take the message of hope and life to others in this nation. And one of the things that Steve brought was standing strong is character, gifts are given, longevity, stand strong in the face of delay, face of adversity, a boldness of stand steady. In all these things, we are more than conquerors. Stand strong, ready to work, preparing you for battle. Hard work is yet to come, but God's grace abounds. Standing strong in the face of temptation, let us not doubt God. Standing strong against bitterness and sexual purity. And to be able to stand strong is really, I suppose it's one verse in the Bible, but it's mentioned many times. And when we look about the gifts of the spirits that are given to us, when we start looking in chapters like 1 Corinthians 13 and other chapters, we see that there's always three things that are going to be left behind, that are going to last forever. Other gifts are going to fade away, but the three things that they talk about is love, faith, and hope. And what I want to look at this morning really is part of those three things, although it's very hard to separate them because they all come from the same source, if you like, and that's Jesus Christ, that's from God, because Christ is love. And so your faith comes through that love that's poured into our lives when we ask Jesus Christ into our lives. It's faith that initiates that response, really, of stepping out from the place that we might be in the world to saying yes to Jesus. Actually, I'm believing something. I've not seen it, but I'm going to go for that because what I'm hearing is causing something within inside me to say, yeah, I want Jesus Christ in my life. That there's more to life than just the things that this world's able to offer. And so I want to start off really looking in Romans 5 verse 1. And out of the three things I want to look at is this hope. What is your hope actually grounded in? What are you hoping in? What are you hoping for? Is it something that you're hoping in, or is it somebody your hope is in? And so as we look, let's look in Romans, if you like. Romans chapter 5. And reading from verse 1, and it says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us. I think those that don't have hope find it very difficult to get through life, especially through the storms of life. If you don't have that hope of saying, actually, well, what is my hope in? Is it just to the next paycheck for my boss? Is my hope in somebody that it's great to have hope in people, but often or not, we're all able to let other people down. How many times have we maybe double booked an appointment and we've had to say to somebody, well, I can't make it? But the hope that we're talking about today isn't the hope that the world looks for. As we read on, it's a hope that is rooted and founded and grounded in somebody, and that's Jesus Christ. That's in God. And hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom He has given us. You see, just at the right time, when we are still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man some might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we are still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by His blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through Him? For if when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to Him through the death of His Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through His life? Not only this so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. He's brought us back. You know that we all belong to God from the beginning. It's just that when we're born into the world, unfortunately, where sin is rooted in the world, that we have to make a decision. God has made a way out from walking in that place in the world of sin, to a place that He can place us through Jesus Christ onto a road of righteousness, onto the road that leads to heaven. But we have to make that choice. God has done it for us. There's nothing we can do extra or anything else to be able to get our salvation. It is only through one man, and that's through Jesus Christ. So we've been reconciled. We've been gathered back in, if you like, through Christ Jesus, the one who took our sin for us upon that cross. But it says here, not only so in verse 3, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom He has given us. So it's a process of this hope that we have. It's because of the love that Jesus pours into our hearts that we know that that the hope that we're looking towards is the day that when Christ comes back again, or the day that we die and that we can go to heaven. That's the hope that we have in Christ Jesus. That's a hope that He's been able to give us by the love that He's poured out into our hearts through His Holy Spirit. And in verse 5 there it says, Paul has mentioned already hope, faith and love just in those three verses. The hope that a Christian has is not equated to the unfounded optimism that the world lives in. Hope that we have in Christ isn't something like, it's very flowery, or it's very, it's non-existent, if you like. That's how sometimes the world thinks. I might get something through finances. People probably work their socks off all hours of the day so they can find a hope or a happiness or something fulfilled in their lives through their finances or through relationships. And often or not, things come crashing down around them when jobs, people are made redundant or things like that, and then they need to seek. It's a bit like the mole, if you like. It's a bit blind, scurrying around, trying to find the next thing that will bring them some happiness or something to hope onto. But there's only one hope, and it's not equated to optimism, but it's a hope that is rooted and grounded and steadfast in the love of the Lord Jesus Christ and to the love of a God who first created you and I. And He wants that relationship back with you. And it's the things within the world that distract us. That we've all been down a route and a road to destruction, if you like, because that's what it is. That if we're not on the road of salvation, then we're on a road to destruction. There's only two roads. One is wide and one is narrow. And one leads to hell and one leads to heaven. And so what it is to bring us from that place of destruction, from that place of optimism, from that place of hoping in things within the world that might bring us happiness for a month or a year or 2 years. It brings us to a place of steadfastness. It brings us to a place of, yeah, I'm rock solid sure that who I'm tied on to, Jesus Christ, he's never going to let me down, he's never going to fail me, he's always there for me. And it doesn't matter what storm of life I'm going through, he's there to lift me up, he's there to encourage me, he's there to say, come on. And he's saying that to us this morning, that what's your hope in this morning? Get back to the roots, get back to the foundation, that the hope that we have, the dare to dream vision that Paul brought last week, isn't just something that fell out of the sky, but it's something that God is wanting to plant upon this church in this region, to go out and to be part of the community and to see a community change. That they're no longer hoping on the things of the world, but they're hoping on the things of God that's going to last forever. And so it is, it's this hope. What's your hope in this morning? It's not equated to the unfounded optimism that the world might look upon or that we might have looked at in the days before we became Christians. But on the contrary, it is a blessed assurance of our future. It's a destiny and it's based on God's love, which is revealed by His Holy Spirit. And objectively, it's demonstrated to us in the death of Christ. That's what our hope is in. As I said, Paul moved in those few verses. He moved from faith, hope and love. And let's turn to 1 Corinthians 13. And I know that's a verse that's used many, or a scripture, a passage if you like, a chapter that's been used many times for marriages. But when we start looking at the words within this passage, don't just read them and ignore them. You know, when we bring messages to you, when the leadership or anyone who's speaking brings a message to you, we need to take this home. We need to take it apart for ourselves and say, what does this mean to me personally? What does this mean to my walk with God today? Don't just fold up your bits of paper and your book and your Bible and wait till the following Sunday, but dwell in the Word of God. It's so rich. It's so strong. You know, it's the roots of what we have. It's a hope of where we're going to. It's the strength that keeps us going through each day. And it's the hope of people that are still blinded by the enemy of today. 1 Corinthians 13, and it says, if I speak in tongues of men and angels but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and I have a faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patience, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast. It is not proud, it is not rude, it is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects. Hear me now. It always protects. Those that have been doubting that, you know, do I have God's protection? Yes, you do. If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have His protection. It always protects. It always trusts. It always hopes. And it always perseveres. You see, there's something in hope that says hope deferred makes a heart sick. But it's something that's, you know, a hope requires patience. How often do we in our own lifetime say, come on God, I want it now. You know, hands up, come on, we've all been there. You know, that we always think that the next day is a day too late, but God's timing is perfect. God's timing is perfect. It never seems it in the natural world, but who knows, a supernatural overcomes a natural. So it requires patience. Hope requires patience. I don't know when Christ is coming back again, but what I do need to know is that am I ready for Christ to come back again? Is my life in line with the way He's been speaking to me through His Word? By loving, by having hope, by having faith in Him. Paul recently spoke about the 10 virgins and their oil lamps, and how 5 were ready and 5 were not. We need to be ready of the day of the coming of the Lord. And whether he takes me before that day comes, I don't know. But what I need to be is live every day that I lay down my, lay down my life and take up my cross. It's a day that we need to be, you know, every day we should be coming to that presence of God and say, wow, this is a great day, Lord. What have you got for me today? Who can I speak to today? Which person are you going to bring along my path today? What kind word can I bring that person that I might see as I walk past him in the high street? So there's this hope. Part of this love never fails is that, for we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I taught like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. But when I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. Although God fully knows us, we won't know the fullness of God and what he looks like and the glory and his splendor until we come face to face with him. But what he's doing in us day in, day out, is that he's changing us from one degree of glory to another as we start to read his word, as we start to delve in and we start, yeah, change me, Lord. Get rid of this bit. It might hurt me, but you know, I don't want that in my life anymore. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. And obviously the greatest is love, because love is Jesus Christ himself. Let's go back a minute to Romans 8, verse 22. Yeah, from verse 22 it says, we know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. As I was saying before, there's a patience and waiting. You know, there's no point me, hoping for a car, a Saab 9.5 2.2 turbo diesel when I've got one sitting outside. You know, there's no point hoping for this chair when it's already here. Hope is not about hoping for things that we see or that we have already, but hope is something that we do not yet see, which we'll look at in a minute as we go to Hebrews. Okay, so, you know, there's no point hoping for things that you already see. It's not about that. It's about hoping for things that, you know, it's knowing that one day I'm going to be sat in heaven, and what's taking me there is that love of Jesus Christ. What's taking me there is the promises of God. What's taking me there is Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. My hope is pinned on somebody that says he's the truth, he's the way, he's the life. My hope is pinned on someone that went to the cross for me 2,000 years ago, that although I've not seen it and I've not yet seen my place in heaven, I'm standing on the truth. I'm standing on the word that says, well, actually, Brian, your hope is right here in me. Are you getting something from this? Hope is waiting patiently. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. Okay, let's move on then. Romans 8:22. Hope is waiting patiently. Let's go to Hebrews 11. You know, these are just a few scriptures that God showed me to bring today on hope, but there's many more. What I suggest is that you go away today and maybe look at the things that we've spoken of today, but also look at it for yourselves, and maybe you need to search your own hearts. Holy Spirit, come and search my heart this morning. Throughout this coming week, you know, show me where my hope is. What hope do I have? Am I actually standing on that hope, or am I standing on something else? Hallelujah. Hebrews 11, verse 1. A great chapter of this is a great chapter of faith, actually. You know, you see what I mean? Hope, faith, and love. You can't get rid of one and not have the others because they're all intermingled. You know, love is Jesus Christ. Hope and faith really come together. Faith working through love is one of the taglines of Kingdom Faith. But we need that hope of who we are, of that hope of who Christ is, of who God is, the hope of where we're going to. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for. There we go, look. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we what? Hallelujah. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. Did you get that? There's nothing visible that God was able to say, to create, if you like, because if it is visible, it's already there. Yeah, so there's no point of creating something that's already there. So creation came out of something that was not yet visible. But when God spoke, it came into being. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command. So what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith was commended as a righteous man. When God spoke well of his offerings and by faith he still speaks even though he is dead. You know, there's stories in here that still bring life to people today. Just because a person died, you know, that is a testimony in itself, if you like, of what is that person leaving. What am I leaving, Brian Ward, what am I leaving to a generation once Christ takes you back? And maybe we need to be asking ourselves that. You know, what is it that I'm leaving behind that is something of Christ that has been within me, that has been rooted and left behind for others to take hold of? It's a challenge, isn't it? But we're here as a body of Christ. You know, not everyone has every gift, but everybody within the church brings, you know, it's a body of Christ together. And what we encourage here is that we're a family. It's not about one person standing at the front. It's about every single person sat here that God has a plan and purpose for your life. That you may not have entered into that yet, but if you have, you are still on the road to it. But what we do in our daily lives and what we bring and what God sows through us, we're to be vessels of rivers of living water, allowing it to flow out of us so that others have the benefit of reaping the things that God has for their lives. I never know when I speak to somebody about Jesus Christ where they are on their route to salvation. They may be at step one or at step 10. Only God knows where that person is. But it's as important for you to speak to a person of your story, what your story is, how Christ has changed your lives. Because you don't know if that's bringing that person to step 10 and saying that person's going to say, well, I want Jesus in my life today. Or if or not, that might be just a second step of that person hearing something about the love of Jesus. But we're all involved in it, if you see what I mean. You're as important as the next person next to you. God has a plan and purpose for each of our lives. And that primarily is to go and make disciples of all nations. And how we do that in our workplaces, in our colleges, in our universities, in our schools, is where we need to come before God and say, well, I've got this hope, you know, I'm hoping for, you know, I know that I'm going to be coming to heaven one day. I know that my God is my Savior. You know, I know that God is my Father, that Jesus Christ is my Savior. I have the Holy Spirit. I know that when I go through rough times, I'm strong. I've got the rock of salvation. I know that He is my shelter in times of trouble, that I can run to Him and I'm going to be safe. And I know that He's not going to lie to me. He's never going to let me down. And I just want to share with this with somebody, you know, that this is how God has helped me through my hard times. Hallelujah. Oh, wow. Jesus, I love you, Lord. Okay. So. Yeah, so when you look through Hebrews 11, there are many stories of the patriarchs, if you like, of old, that have walked in faith. They've also had that revelation, if you like, of where their hope was, who their hope was in. And although they didn't see things in the natural, they stepped out of things in faith, saying, yeah, I'll do that. Noah built an ark when he was in the middle of dry land because God had spoken to him. But there was no water visible around him. And so it goes on and on throughout the chapter 11 of just a few, if you like. It's, you know, I think it's just a few of the patriarchs and how they walked in faith. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. What do you hope for? What is your hope? Where is your hope? Hebrews 6 and 18. Let's have a look there. What did I say? 6, 18. Let's go from verse 13. It says, when God made his promise to Abraham, since there is no one greater for him to swear by, he swore by himself, saying, I will surely bless you and give you many descendants. And so after waiting patiently, Abraham received what was promised. I don't know, was it, how many years was that? Was it 20 yet? Anyone remember? How many years was that, Richard? Do you know? How long did Abraham wait? Put you on the spot. 25, was it? 25 years. I wasn't sure it was 25 or 28. But Abraham waited 25 years for God to do something in his life. Jesus waited 30 years before he went into ministry. You know, there's a preparation that God does in us before we might think that we're being released into ministry. And that's to, if you like, change our character. Who knows that your characters need changing daily? Hallelujah. Keep pressing in. We persevere. Praise God. So there's a, you know, hope, you know, that, as I was saying before, with hope, you know, there is patience. It doesn't always just happen with God. Some things do, some things don't. But there's a reason why things sometimes don't happen instantly with God. Because his timing's perfect. Saying, I will surely bless you and give you many descendants. And so after waiting patiently, Abraham received what was promised. Men swear by someone greater than themselves, and the oath confirms what is said and puts an end to all argument. Because God wanted to make the unchanging nature of his purpose very clear to the heirs of what was promised, he confirmed it with an oath. God did this so that by two unchangeable things, do you hear that? Two unchangeable things. The things that God has done that we're going to read about are unchangeable. Because A, God is not a liar. And B, he sticks to his word. God did this so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of the hope offered to us may be greatly encouraged. You know, it's an encouragement, isn't there? Aren't you encouraged of what God has promised us? Are we encouraged? Maybe it's a quiet encouragement within our spirit of saying, well, actually, yeah, I'm pretty encouraged this morning. I'm pretty encouraged that my hope is in God. I have this quietness about me. You know, I don't think Jesus went shouting his mouth off all over the place. I think there's times when he was very quiet. But there's something about his demeanor that when he walked into a place, there's something of God upon him that changed people's lives. Sometimes it's not by our many words, but sometimes it's just by our actions. God did this by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie. We who have fled to take hold of the hope offered to us may be greatly encouraged. We have this hope as an anchor for what? An anchor for our soul. We have this hope as an anchor for our soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain where Jesus, who went before us, has entered on our behalf. He has become a high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. I'm not going to go into the story of Melchizedek because we don't have the time. Maybe that's something for you to take up yourselves. But Christ, our high priest, it has taken us. Our anchor is in the inner sanctuary, if you like. It's through the curtain that was ripped when Christ died for us at Calvary, opened up the inner sanctuary, if you like, opened up the place where God sits. In the Old Testament, and it talks about only one man could ever go in there, and that is through the sacrifice of a lamb at a certain time of the year. But now, through Christ Jesus, through his death upon the cross, he's made it possible that the temple within the curtain within the temple, it says, was rent in two from top to bottom. It wasn't a man done thing by cutting up the, you know, from the bottom to the top, but it was God. It was Jesus Christ that made the way possible. And that's where our anchor for our soul is. That is where the anchor that is steadfast and sure. That is the anchor that takes you through the times of trouble in our lives. That is the anchor that encourages us. That's the anchor that builds us up. That's the anchor that gives us strength each day. That's the anchor that says, yes, I'm going for God. Because it's rooted in God himself, who sat in the heavenly places. A place where Jesus is actually, but where we are also seated, because God has placed us in that heavenly place. And that's only because of the work of Jesus Christ, what he has done on the cross, and through his resurrection. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, the anchor of ships goes downwards and secures in the seabeds of the oceans. Our anchor is going upwards and has entered into the inner sanctuary and is held on to God, who is our Father. Our God, who is our Saviour, our God, who is our hope and our help in times of trouble. An anchor that never slips, an anchor that doesn't get dragged along through storms of life, an anchor that is secure. Where is your anchor held up today? Where is your anchor secured in? What is your anchor secured in? Is it in the hope of a God who doesn't lie, of a God who has given us everything that we need? That the things of this world really don't matter. Ha, ha, ha. We laugh in the face of diversity, adversity. Ha, ha, ha. Come on, Jesus. Hallelujah. Ha. Oh, God is good. Wow. Hope is not a mere wish. Hope is not but it's an unshakable confidence. Hope is not unfounded optimism. Hope is an anchor. Hope is a guarantee of our safety. Hope is unshakable confidence of the future. Hope is waiting patiently. Hope is a purification and a cleansing. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm going to play a song this morning. It's one by Hillsong. It's called Cornerstone, funnily enough. And it came out, it was written many years ago. Written by a guy called Edward Mote, and the tune was by William Bradbury. But Hillsong actually took this, quite an old song, if you like, it's one I dug out from the cellar. But it's a song, I think, that when we realise of who our hope is and where our hope is, it'll bring you hope this morning to continue walking in the freedom, walking in what God has for us, even though we might be going through times of trouble, that your anchor is secure in God himself. And the song is, my hope is built in nothing less but Jesus' blood and righteousness. And why did Hillsong bring their song back out again? It was whilst they were over in, Stockholm. There's three of them that wrote the song together. And it was whilst the minister from Hillsong was across at Hillsong, Stockholm, that gunman was on the rampage within that area where they were, where all these people got killed. And it drew, it was the worship leader from Hillsong in Stockholm and a couple of others, the pastor that came across from Hillsong, that they sat down together that afternoon and they wrote this. They didn't rewrite this song. They've changed the chords to it and the chorus is slightly different to the original. But let's just play that and just meditate upon it as it's playing. The words will come up if you want to join in, you can. But just focus on who your hope is and where your hope is.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.